safely, but thank you for being here this morning to worship the Lord together with us. Just powerful presence of God in our worship. Will you give it up for our worship team? That was awesome. Each week leading us into the presence of God. So much appreciate all those involved in that ministry. Let me mention a couple of things before we get started with the message today. One thing is this Saturday. Everybody say, this Saturday. All right, this Saturday is Serve Day over at Hickory Elementary School. We have the opportunity to partner with them. They have extended a hand of invitation for us to come over across the street and to help them on a work day that they have going on. And so we want to engage with that. As you know, many of you, that we also do donut drops and barista people we send over there and bless the staff on occasion about once a month. We do cookie drops and different things like that for the school. But this is an opportunity for us to just have hands-on helping them with some outdoor projects that they have that involve cleanup and some landscaping things, things of that nature. And so what I would like, they have the time between 9 and noon set apart for this purpose. I would like as many of us as possible to show up at 9 a.m. And wouldn't it be awesome if we showed up so much in force that the work that they thought would take 3 hours, we could complete in one. So please, please, please sign up or at least show up really on Saturday at 9 a.m. and we'll be over there. We'll let them tell us what we need to do and whatever, but because it's their day, but they've invited us to participate with them. It's a great opportunity for us to show the love of God from our congregation to them and to bless them. So please, 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 I know you have stuff going on. I've got a wedding a few hours later and some things like that going on myself. But if we could just show up and bless them on Saturday at 9 a.m., that would be awesome. So thank you for making sure that you write that down, put it in your phone, whatever you need to do. Also, as was mentioned, Craig mentioned that an awesome week is coming up with Art Camp, and I'd like for every person who's going to, or maybe today you decided, I'm going to volunteer for that, to stand up, if you would. We had a number of people in the first service that stood up, so just go ahead, stand up if you're going to help with Art Camp this week. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. Just stay standing, and we're going to pray for these folks and also pray for the kids. It's a great opportunity to show the love of God through this art camp. Father, we thank you for this week, and it's a great week for us to engage with kids. They love this art camp, God, every year that we've done it. And we pray that even more kids would show up this time and that more of us would invite kids to be here and be a part of it. And we turn our kids loose to invite other kids to be here. And we know that in 3 days, you could touch their hearts. You could just show your love to them. And we pray that you'll do it through each of these volunteers. We ask that you will just bless them back for giving 3 evenings of their week to share God's love in this way and to reach the next generation for you. And we know that's on your heart, and we know it's such a powerful thing to be able to influence the next generation. So we pray that over these 3 days, your power, your presence, your love will be shown in and through these volunteers and through this ministry of Art Camp, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give it up for those who are volunteering. So much appreciate your involvement. Over the next few weeks, we are starting a new series. So we've been talking about this. I don't think there's any more important topic that we could talk about in regard to our culture, in regard to what is going on in everyday life, and that is our image, our perception of ourself. And so over these 4 weeks, my intent is you will know who God made you to be. that it's not so much what other people say about you, but what does God say about you? And today we're going to look at this topic and just start this whole theme off. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to the book of Genesis. It's pretty easy to find. It's right at the very beginning of the Bible. And we're going to look at the beginning of the story of mankind, because how you perceive yourself is so huge, because self-image, and by the way, I'm going to do maybe a little bit more teaching than preaching today, although if you know me, you know that that line is very fine. And so when I get to talking about the goodness of God and His forgiveness and His power and His grace and His mercy and His love and His everlasting kindness that He has shown to me, His mercy, all of those things, I can't help but get a little bit excited. How about you? And so today my intent, though, is to give you as much of this as possible to help us to all get on the same page with God's image for our lives. Self-image is defined as the idea, conception, or mental image that one has of oneself. That could be positive, could be negative. Could be that it's with confidence or with doubt. It's often contributed or attributed, I should say, to our background, to our influencers that have been in our lives up to this point. So today, I want us to go back to the very beginning of the story of life, to the spectacular work of an amazing Creator God who spoke worlds into existence, that spoke the universe into existence, but also spoke life as we know it into existence. So Genesis chapter 1, if you have your YouVersion notes, you can pull those up on your device. Or otherwise, if you don't have a Bible or don't have that on your device, then you can look at the screen. Genesis chapter 1, here's what it says. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. And then a little bit more detail is given to this creation story in the second chapter, and here's what it says. Then the Lord God formed a man from the, what? Dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. They say that on an average, that the average person breathes 17,000 times per day. Now, in one moment, with one breath, a useless piece, relatively useless piece of rubber, can turn into fun, right? Energy, activity in your household. Now, I don't know if you have small kids, but what they may say to you is something like this. Hey, Dad, turn this into a balloon. And if you know anything, you know that it's already a balloon, right? I'm not going to turn it into a balloon. But what they mean is that it doesn't really serve its purpose. It doesn't really achieve its design until the breath is put into it. And the same thing with you and I. We were created by a divine God with divine destiny in our lives. But so many of us feel deflated. Maybe you feel deflated today. Maybe you feel like, does life really have purpose? Or what is my purpose? What is my intent in life? What would be my divine destiny? Do I really have one? And the answer is, yes, you do, when God's breath is in you. When God has breathed into you, all of a sudden life is different. But you may feel deflated today. You may feel like, I'm not living up. I'm not doing what I was created to be. But I'm assuring you this morning that all it takes is a little bit of God to go a long, long way. Right? How many of you know that? Just a little bit of God in your life can go a long, long way. And so if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you three things today that will help you in understanding God's image upon your life. First thing is that he has set us apart, right? He set us apart. In the very creation story, it talks about how that we were dust. And we started out as dust, and then what does the Bible say we're going to end up as? Dust. But in between dust and dust comes the breath of God. And the breath of God makes all the difference in the world. The Hebrew word that's used here for the breath of God is the holy breath of God. Not just a breath inside of us, not just life, but what we understand is life to the full, right? That's exactly what God intended. And so what God intended is that we would not just be shapeless and formless and without purpose in our lives, but instead, as he breathes into us, we would achieve the form, we would achieve the structure, we would achieve all that he has for us to achieve. And just like that balloon that receives the breath into it, brings life into a home, brings joy to kids, it brings excitement into a party. Likewise, God's breath into us brings a joy unspeakable that we used to sing about in church, and full of glory that the half's not even yet been told of all the joy that God can bring to our lives, regardless, how many know this, of your circumstances, regardless of your situation. So God breathed into you today, and what that creates is it creates a confidence. But it's also a humility, because it's interesting that we are made of the most inferior stuff of the planet. And yet, we are filled with the most superior purpose of all on this planet. Notice that in verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image," mankind. Now, God was talking to himself. How many of you would admit today that you do a little bit of that? You know, some of you don't want to admit that, right? You talk to yourself. But God talking to himself isn't quite like you and I talking to ourselves. We understand that there's a triune God that the Bible describes as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God, in perfect unity, said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, you were made and created out of relationship. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, "Let us make man in our image." And you were created for relationship. Our lives make sense and have purpose when we're engaged in relationship. I think many of the rampant image problems in our culture are not the result of a lack of designer clothing. They're not a lack of makeup or a lack of trophies on our shelves, but they are the result of a separation from the understanding that I was created by God in his image. I was filled with his very spiritual air. The very air I breathe is created by him. He has breathed into me the breath of life. That's how I was created. So we understand the original story, and Augustine says it like this: "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until it finds rest in you." You see, often we get things reversed. We're not thinking about being made in the image of a creator God. We're not thinking about his breath within us. We're not thinking about his presence in our lives. And so therefore, we get things reversed. We start using people and loving things. When God intended for us to love people and use things. But we get things reversed when we begin to think about who we are, and we don't put into fact that we were created originally by God. We're forgetting our story. We're getting disconnected from the story that God originated with us. Look at verse 26 again. Pull that up for us, please. It says, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground." God intended for you to be different. All of the rest of the creation is different. The animals, they're different from us. You know, if a lion goes out and he kills a deer, the lion police don't come to arrest that lion, do they? There's no prosecuting attorney that says, "Hey, you crossed a line," or a lion. "Yeah, you shouldn't have done that." The animal kingdom doesn't come around and say, "Hey, what's up with this? You struck an innocent animal, and now we need to have a trial, and we need to put you on the stand, and we got to do an autopsy here." None of that happens because animals are different than mankind. An animal is just an animal, but humans are different. They are made in the image of God. They are created in God's image after his likeness, and therefore he has set us apart. Another illustration of this is, for 5 days God created the heavens and the earth and things that are on the earth. And at the end of every one of those 5 days, here's what God looked and said: "That's good. That is good. That is good. And that is good." But on the sixth day, when God created man in his image, when he literally took the dust of the ground and formed man with it and breathed into him the breath of life, God didn't say what he said the other days of creation. Now God says something different. He says, "Now that's very good. That's very good." In other words, when God looked down and created mankind, and he didn't just create one or two or ten in his image, he created billions in his image. And God said, "That is very good." So today in this room, when God looks down upon you and I, he is saying, "That is really good. That's really good." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Hey, he's talking about me." Just in case you were wondering. We're set apart. For me to pick up this Bible and hold it in my hands, there are 300 at least chemical reactions between my brain and my hand and back up in a split second. Because you and I, as the psalmist said, are majestically made. We are amazingly made. We are set apart by God. And here's what he says in verse 27. Let's look at that again. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It is the imago Dei, the Latin word for "in the image of God." We were made in his image. We see that in ancient times, a king would often say to the people, "Hey, make an image of me and put it out in front of my palace or out in the center of town so that people can see my image."
And so they would do this. In many ancient communities, they would make these images of these kings, these leaders, but not in Israel. Why didn't they do that? Because they didn't believe that their creator could be one-dimensional. That their creator was the true creator of all that was around. And as a matter of fact, they also believed that their creator already had an image of himself, that image was you and I, that when we look at each other, we are literally already seeing God has made an image. We don't make an image of him. He has made an image of himself, and it's you and it's me. And as made in his image, see, we have humor, we have creativeness, we have creativity, we have work, we have imagination, we have resources, we have reason that we go through. In the presence of God, we know who we are, that we are made in his image. And when we understand that, it changes everything. Everything. Our whole outlook. Just like prayer. Prayer is not something I read from a book. Prayer is not something that I go through the motions in or do my spiritual duty. Prayer, as I understand it, as a creation of God, having his spirit put within me, it is an opportunity for my spirit to connect with his spirit, for me to literally connect with divinity, to create, to touch the creator in prayer and to communicate, not just talk to him, but hear from him. I'm connecting with divine power in prayer. So it's not just showing up. And work is not just showing up. And it's not just punching a time clock. It's an opportunity that perhaps today God will use me to influence somebody else for him. That somehow the image of God on my life will somehow shine out to the people here at work. It's not just doing my duty. It's not just trying to make a living. It's not just getting a paycheck. It's an opportunity for the divine presence of God to show up in this place. When I laugh, when we laugh around the family table, or we laugh at different things that we do at times, it's not just laughter, it's a joy in our lives because we understand where joy comes from. That the reason we can laugh, and not just laugh when something's funny, but we can laugh through something that's sad because we know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy, come on somebody, comes in the morning. Right? Comes in the morning. And so everything's different when you look at it from the origination of our Creator God. And not only that, but he has a plan for us. He has a plan for us. As a creation of God, God has divine directions for us, a divine destiny for us to fulfill. And so we need to change our perspective. We need to allow it to impact our thoughts because God has plans for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." You see, God has plans for you, and they're good plans. Their plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And when you have a revelation of how God has made you and wired you, it can change everything. There's something in psychology called pattern interrupt. And it's when a person all of a sudden gets a new thought and they begin to think a different way. And I believe today what God wants to do here this morning is maybe do a pattern interrupt in your life. that you may have come in here believing what some people spoke over you at some point in your life. They may have said you were worthless, or you are meaningless, or you're dumb, or you're lazy, or maybe they've told you that you are one hot mess. You've always been a hot mess, and you'll always be a hot mess. But I'm telling you, that's what they say. That is not what your Heavenly Father says over your life. That is not your name. They may have given you that name, but your Heavenly Father has a name for you, and it is made in my image after my likeness with my very breath in you. We are created by the great Creator, and some of us here have lost our way. We've allowed the culture to tell us who we are. And what it's done is it's told you who you're not. That you're not this or you're not that. And your Heavenly Father would say to you today, no, I want you to take back the original purpose, the original design for why you were created. Quit living deflated and defeated. I want to fill you with my breath, with my touch, with my power. I want to raise you up into the image that I had originally designed so that you can bring joy and gladness, so that you can be my instrument on this planet of who I really am and what I really came to do. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm getting excited this morning. All right. Let me get back here. You know, we can take it back. And the last thing is we can understand that he has a claim on us. See, as being an original design by God, God has a claim on our lives. In Matthew chapter 22, there's a portion of scripture where these people that were always looking to trip Jesus up. Can you imagine having people in your life that are just always wanting to point out the bad things? Can you imagine having people like that in your life? Just always looking for something. And so all the time that Jesus would go around teaching and doing miracles, they try to, you know, sneak up on him and trap him and do things. Well, this day, they thought, we've got him. Because we're going to talk about taxes, right? And what we're going to say is, Jesus, should we pay tax to Caesar? Should we, that be something we do? And they thought, you know, if he says yes, then a lot of the Jewish people are going to be mad because they hate that tax. They don't want to pay that tax. They feel like they're royal priesthood. They're the people of God. And what are they doing paying tax to this pagan leader anyway? So they won't want to listen to him anymore. That'll be great. But if he is afraid of saying that and he says, no, you shouldn't pay tax because he wants to have the people keep coming and listening to him. And so he says, hey, you should pay the tax to Caesar. Then, or shouldn't pay the tax to Caesar. Then we'll tell Caesar. We'll tell the Roman officials and tell them, you need to arrest this guy. He's bringing about an insurrection. Next thing you know, he'll start riots in the streets. He's got a lot of followers. And if he starts getting people to quit paying tax, Romans going to be hurt by that. And so you Romans, you need to take authority here. You need to put this guy out quick. So they thought, we've got him. But look at what it says in Matthew chapter 22. Tell us then, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, because he knows our hearts, says, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. And then he said to them, so give back to Caesar
what is Caesar's, and to God, what is God's. And when they heard this, they were amazed. And so they left him and went away. You see, I've got a denarius here today. Not really. It's a quarter, all right? So I thought you'd be impressed if I had an actual denarius, but can't do that. It's probably not worth as much as a denarius, but this quarter, like so many coins around the world, has an image put upon it. And it's interesting because for centuries of time, people have been doing this. And you know, Caesar loved having his image stamped upon those coins because here they were using them all over the known world. And wherever people exchanged those coins, they were declaring that Caesar rules here. We are under Caesar's authority. And Jesus is saying, yeah, you know, in this world you'll have human leaders and you'll have people that you got to pay attention to and you got to submit to and things like that. But there's another image that I want to talk about. Because God has put his stamp. He has put his image. He has placed it upon you. And as a result, he has said that I have authority in this person's life. And it's not an authority so that you're under subjection and you've got to worry about what's God going to do to me. Instead, you serve a God who says, you want to know the plans I have for you? They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. I have put my stamp upon you. I have put my name upon you. I have placed my image upon you to say that you are mine. And I don't know about you today, but I gladly give to God all that I have, all that I am, because I serve a God who can dream bigger than I can dream, who can come up with more than I could ever come up with. And so today, God wants us to understand our worth in him, that we are made in his image. And when I think about that, when I just start thinking about the image of God, just like coins in this room, that how would it affect our marriages if we saw the stamp of God on that other person? If we saw the image of our Heavenly Father, how would our neighborhoods be different? What would it do to racial tensions? What would it do to our government? What would it do to everyday life? What would it do in the school if instead of you saw that kid as a bother and a pain and a bore and a whatever, as the image of God? That we are all created in the image of God. C.S. Lewis said it this way, there are no ordinary people. You know, the second sentence of the Constitution of the United States says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by who? Their Creator, with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is the understanding that we are not just here as Americans. We are not just here because of happenstance. We are not just here because some boat happened to land over here on this side of the water. We are here by divine destiny. We are all created in his image. We are endowed by our Creator. It's another word for we are stamped by the image of God on our lives. And when you see people as the image of God, you see them differently. You know, that's why we're going to be ministering to homeless people here in the next couple months. At a crossroads, there's a homeless ministry right here in our own community called Family Promise, and we're going to partner with them. They were asking, could you keep people for at least a week? They said, we really need 2 weeks, and so we're going to keep homeless people here in our building for a couple of weeks.
in a few weeks. And the reason why we're doing that is not because these people don't want to work or because they're lazy or because whatever label else you might have been risking to label them with. They are down and out. They've had hard times. They've lost their homes. They've had something happen, and they don't want to be homeless. They don't want to live out of their car, and they just need a helping hand to lift them up. And we're not here just to, you know, patty cake them or whatever. We're here to help change their lives because they are stamped with the image of the Almighty God on their lives, and God has more for them than what they could dream about. And we want them to realize the dream of God in their lives, because Jesus said, when you see them, you see me. When you serve them, you serve me. We forget his image. We forget we're made in his image, in his likeness, and we're all created that way. Mother Teresa was asked one time, why do you go around? How is it that you can go around and pick up people that are gangrenous and flesh that's oozing and all this nastiness, and these people that are just laid in the streets of India, and you go around and pick them up and take them somewhere to care for them? How do you do that? She says, because I am not picking up people with gangrenous skin. I am not picking up people with oozing skin. I am picking up Jesus. I am picking up Jesus everywhere I go, because these are the least of these. And he said, when you do it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. You see, time in his presence makes the image sharper. Time with his people makes the image larger. And time in his service embeds the image deeper in our lives. May God help us to understand his image on us, but also on others as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the reality of who we are. Not what the world would say, not what others have said about us, but what you have declared and what you have originated. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Craig, somehow, some way, I've lost some of that. I've lost some of that image of God in my life. Or maybe you've lost some of that image in the lives of other people. And maybe perhaps you're not treating people always the way God would have you to treat them. Maybe sometimes it's a struggle at work, or maybe at school, or maybe it's even at home where it's difficult. But if you're here today and you join me in saying, Craig, I want my place of work, I want my school, I want my neighborhood, I want the people who even live under the same roof as I do, I want the people when I go to family reunion to know that I see them in the image of God, in spite of my preconceived ideas about them, in spite of what I believed before, I want to see people as God sees them. How many of you would join me in that, and you'd raise your hand toward the Lord today? Yeah, hands all over this room. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help us all to do this better, to have our eyes changed so that we see people not as we've seen them before, but as you see them. And we pray, God, that it would change the way we treat people, it would change the way we live our lives, and it would change America as a result. So, God, we pray that right here, right now, it starts with us. We don't want to pray for somebody else right now. We just want to pray for ourselves, that we will be the change that's needed, that we will live our lives in a way that will honor the image of God upon us and the image of God on others. Maybe you're here today, others of you, and you'd say, Craig, somehow I've lost that image of God in my life. And maybe if you were to describe your life, it would seem like lost. or deflated or without shape, perhaps, because the presence of God, you wouldn't say, fills your life like that balloon. But if you're here this morning, and maybe you're in this place for the first time, maybe you're here because you just felt like you needed to go to church today, or maybe you're here because someone invited you, I want you to know that you're not here by chance. I just don't believe in that. I believe that God today, your creator, wants to assure you of his image upon your life and wants to infuse you with his presence. And today would be an awesome day to just open your heart, your life, to the very presence of God to come in. And all the Bible says we need to do is just invite him. And I want to help you to do that. So if you're here this morning and that's you, would you just raise a hand and say, yes, I need to either come back to God or I need to come to God today. Yes, I see that hand. How many others? Yes, so we're here and back here. God bless you guys. If you've lost God's image and you need to regain it, or maybe for the first time, yes, I see that hand. All right, several hands around the room. So Crossroads family, just pray this prayer out loud with me to encourage everyone. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay the price so that I can be yours. Today I'm coming back to my roots, to the original purpose for why you made me. I ask you to come into my life. Fill me with your presence. As much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for coming in and beginning a change in me and helping me to see your image in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's praise God for those who made that commitment. That's awesome.